Our study today is taken from the book of Genesis and reading in chapter 5. Let us read the chapter. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years, and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, This saying shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. At first reading, it appears that these verses in Genesis chapter 5 are merely a dry list of names and ages of individuals from ancient history of whom we know little. It appears, if we only read the chapters superficially, that there is little truth that we can gain from a consideration of this vital section of the book of Genesis. I want you to see today quite clearly that Genesis chapter 5 is a chapter which is filled with spiritual truth. There is much that we can learn concerning the ways of God with men and women from a careful perusal of these verses. I want you to observe, please, that Genesis 5 is the history of the line of Seth. we saw at the end of Genesis chapter 4 the words of Eve when Seth was born. "For God," said she, "hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." Therefore, what we have in Genesis 5 is the history of the seed which came from the man who was born in place of Abel. This is the Sethite line, the godly line, the line of those who called upon the name of the Lord, as we saw also at the end of Genesis chapter 4. So, in a godless world, where the Cainites are building, where they are opening their colonies, where they are spreading their arts, their industry, and their music, there is another society. And this society is made up of those who are calling on the name of the Lord. We considered that in our last lesson, but Genesis chapter 5 gives us the ongoing history of that society. I want you to observe, secondly, please, that the period of time covered by these verses is approximately 2,000 years. It takes us right up to the time immediately before the flood. It takes us up to the life of Noah when he was 500 years of age. Now, this is a very, very large part of the history of the human race in the terms of time. And so it behoves us to consider very carefully how God dealt with men during that large expanse of time, during these two millennia. It means that this chapter is important. It covers such a large space of time that it cannot be ignored. And therefore, because of that alone, it deserves careful consideration and attention. We will today look at the chapter in three ways. I would like you to observe, firstly, the characteristics of the age. We will see today that there were certain characteristics which marked the line of Seth. And then we will look at the characters in the age. Very briefly, looking at those who are named one after another. But we will then look particularly at one man who stands out from the others. He is Enoch, and he stands out from the others because he is the only man in this chapter who did not die. So, after looking at the characteristics of the age and the characters in the age, we will turn our attention to the conclusions from the age, because there are a number of definite conclusions which we can read through our consideration of these interesting verses. Let us then turn our attention to the characteristics of the age. I want you for a moment to compare this list of names and the details associated with them with that which appears in chapter 4 relating to the line of Cain. If you look carefully, you will see that one feature stands out immediately. It is that the ages of the line of Seth are mentioned, but the ages of the line of Cain are not mentioned. In Genesis chapter 4, you look in vain for any indication of the age of Cain or Lamech, or any of the women who are mentioned in that chapter. Their ages are absent. But when we turn our attention to Genesis chapter 5, we're immediately struck with the fact that there is detail regarding the ages and the lives of these men. It would appear to be, quite simply, that God numbers and values the years of his own. Is it not significant that the ages of history are measured by the lives of these men? Man is therefore seen as a key, vital part of the calendar of God. But of course, it is man after the line of Seth, not after the line of Cain. Because if we accept that the measurements of Genesis chapter 5 are God's measurements and values of the years of his own, we must see it significant that there is lack of age in Genesis chapter 4. That lack would seem to indicate that there was nothing of value and worth which could be measured. We learn of what they did, but we learn no measurement of their days. It may also be indicative of the fact that godless men do not number their days and apply their hearts unto wisdom. It is a strange thing that godless men and women seem to run away from the fact that their life will end, and they do not number their days. They take little thought of eternity and of what lies ahead. For them, today is everything, and tomorrow is of little or of no value. For them, the pleasures of the day are the only thing that is of importance. But when we come to the line of Seth, we find that these men have their days measured. They measure the days, realizing that time for them will one day be over. So, there is a lesson for us, is there not? The lesson is that we must measure our days, learn, appreciate, and understand the shortness of the time which is given to us. We will see today that that is much shorter than was given to the men of Genesis chapter 5. And if they measured their days, how much more should we? So let us keep in mind that the ages of these men were measured. But I want you to notice, secondly, please, that the division of their lives was mentioned. Looking at the verses again, you will see that the vital point mentioned in their life is when their son, their first son, was born. We read, for instance, that Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Enos lived 98 years and begat Canaan. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel, and so on. The vital point in their experience was when their son, their first son, was born. Now, this is of tremendous importance in the Word of God, because the Sethite line was the line through which Messiah ultimately came. If you turn to the genealogy at the beginning of the Gospel by Luke, you will find that the Sethite line is mentioned, and the genealogy of the Lord Jesus is traced back right to Adam, and the names that you find in Genesis 5 are the same names which you find in the Gospel by Luke. So right at this early stage, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus is being preserved and is being presented. Right at this early stage, the plan of salvation has been put into action. The God, who was not taken by surprise by the sin of man, is now acting. And in this chapter, we see presented to us the line that will lead ultimately to the Christ. So, this division of their life was vital. It is important because, as we say, it becomes part of the gospel record. I want you to observe thirdly, please, that writ large on this chapter is the fact that death reigns. As you look down, you read over and over again, and he died, and he died, and he died. Is it not significant that it is repeated over and over again? The lesson that is being driven home to us, quite simply, is that death now reigns. And this reign of death not only covers the line of Cain, but covers also the line of Seth. No one can be exempted from it, except, we will see, the remarkable exception of Enoch. The long years of these men is another point which I would like you to note. Over the years, attempts have been made to show that these men did not actually live the number of years stated by the measurement of our years. Some have said it was a year of a month, or of 3 months, or of 6 months. But there is every indication from the Word of God that a year, as we know it today, was the year of the book of Genesis. Now, why did they live such a long period of time? There were reasons for that. The first reason to which I would direct your attention is that it means that the earth could be populated, that there could be a huge population explosion. And if you care to take your calculator and try to work out the population of the earth by the death of Adam, you will be surprised at how many million there would be. But there is a second reason. It means that the account of what took place at the beginning can be passed down from generation to generation. In this connection, it is interesting to note that when Noah, for instance, was born, 7 previous generations were still alive, although Enoch had been translated before Noah's birth. But he could go back 7 generations. Adam, for instance, died about 200 years or so before the birth of Noah. But still, there was 7 generations there, and if you look very carefully, and it would be interesting to look at a chart of these ages, or even to draw up your own chart, you will find that when Adam died, there was alive some who were alive during the lifetime of Noah. For instance, Canaan, Enos, Mahalalel, Jared, were all alive. Even the father of Noah, Lamech, was alive for a few years before the death of Adam. So all these men had known Adam. Think of that. Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Methuselah, and Lamech, all were alive when Adam was alive, and Noah would have opportunity to hear their story, the story that they had heard, no doubt from the lips of Adam. So, what happened in the garden would be spoken of, would be mentioned, and would be taught, and the lessons regarding approaching with blood, the incident regarding Cain and Abel, no doubt would be told over and over and over again. So we have noted that the ages were mentioned, we have noted the division of their lives, we have noted the reign of death, and we have noted the significance of the long lifespan of these men. I should just pause here to say that at later times in the book, the lifespan of man became limited. But in these early days, the limitations did not come into force. I want you to notice, please, that in the line of Seth, fifthly, no occupation is mentioned. This is a very remarkable fact. The line of Cain is known for the fact that it settled on earth and tried to make it a place in which it was pleasant to live. We considered in our last lesson the industry of that line, their devotion to the arts, that great hymn to war and violence, and we noted that they were specifically city dwellers. But when we turn to Genesis 5, there is no word at all of their occupation, of how they spent their time, and what they did with their days. Now surely this is significant. This godly line was not interested in world improvement. This godly line was not interested in building on the basis of the ambitions of earth. This godly line was not interested in what took the imagination, the energy, and the vigour of the Cainites. They were known by the fact that they were different. They were known by the fact that their hopes and their desires lay somewhere else, and of that we will speak later. So, the line of Seth is not seen in connection with building on earth, whereas the line of Cain were earth dwellers with earth-bound horizons. That is the characteristics of the age. Remember that the Cainites and the Sethites lived on this earth at the same time, two differing, distinct groups of people with different hopes, different occupations, different ambitions. Now, having looked at the characteristics of the age, I want you to look secondly at the characters in the age. There is some spiritual significance in the names that are mentioned. Let me just run over these for a moment or two. After Adam, the first is Seth. It is interesting to note that in verse 3 we read that Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. Now these words were used in connection with the creation of man, likeness and image. You may care to consider what is the difference between likeness and image. I would submit for your consideration that likeness has to do with resemblance, whereas image represents. So likeness means that we resemble someone, whereas image means that we represent someone. In the case of likeness, it indicates qualities which correspond to those of God. So, when it is recorded of man that he was made in the likeness of God, it means, as we say, that he had qualities which corresponded to those of God. Whereas, image speaks of representing or presenting this to others. Now, when we come therefore to Genesis chapter 5, we read that Adam lived and he begat a son in his own likeness after his image. So, now it is true that the image and likeness which was Adam's and which we have read of at the time when Adam was created would be transmitted to Seth. But note that it says in his own likeness, after his image. That is, in the likeness of Adam, after the image of Adam. Now, what is the significance of that? Is it not that we see here that that image and that likeness had been corrupted by sin, and therefore, although it was still there and was transmitted to his son, it was transmitted in a form which was corrupted. It was not the original glory. It was not the original stamp. That was there, but it had been debased by the presence of sin. So it is still true that man has the high dignity which was given him at creation, but that dignity has been debased and corrupted by the presence of sin. Now, let us turn, as we said we would, to look at these names. Seth, that name means appointed. He was appointed to take the place of Abel. And he stands here, under Adam, at the head of those who would follow. His son Enos, that means frail, mortal man. What a difference between the line of Seth and the line of the Cainites. The Cainites rejoiced in their prowess. The Cainites rejoiced in their vigour, in their industry. They exalted each other by calling cities the names of sons, etc. But the Seth line realized that they were but frail, mortal men. Only by realizing this can we be godly. That is a good starting point. Frail, mortal man. The next one is Canaan. The word there means acquisition. Now, the blessing that came through realizing the frailty of man is now acquired. God's blessing comes when there is a realization that we are Enos, we are frail, mortal men, and the blessing is acquired by that means. The next name is Mahalaleel. God is splendor. Think of the society in which this man lived. The Cainites building, working, creating the magnificent works of their hands. But in the midst of all that, there is a man, and his name means God is splendor. What a magnificent testimony. A testimony that could only be born on the realization that we are but frail, mortal man. And on that basis, having acquired the blessing of God, we testify to the splendor of our God. Jared follows. Descending is the meaning of his name. Here we are learning that those who understand the splendor of God understand the need for humility. An appreciation of the greatness of God goes along with an appreciation of the necessary humility of the human heart. So, descending, humble, followed by Enoch. Enoch means tuition. And Enoch is a man who is in the school of God. Enoch is a man who is educated alone with God. Enoch is a man who comes to know in God's school closeness and intimacy and fellowship with his God. Methuselah comes next. It will be sent. We have here something of God's long suffering. When Methuselah died, it came. When Methuselah died, judgment came. Thus, Enoch had an understanding of the fact that God was long-suffering, but when his son Methuselah died, judgment would come. This is followed by Lamech, powerful. In those days, as the darkness is growing deeper, there is a powerful man, an overcomer. Somebody living in the worst of days, who is able to overcome. And then we have Noah, rest. In his life, judgment would come. And after that, there would be a new earth. And after that, there would be the opportunity for rest from the awful, dreadful, sinful conditions into which mankind had sunk. Let us just run over these names, because we see in them the characteristics of the godly and the characteristics that ought to mark us. Frail mortal man, acquiring God's blessing and thus understanding the splendor of God. Through that, coming to know the need for humility and thus going into the school of God and knowing tuition from the hand of God alone. Understanding that the present distress will not be forever, and that although God is long-suffering, judgment would come. But as Lamech is overcoming during these days, and looking forward to the rest that would come after judgment had taken place, is this not a picture of the features of the godly? So these were the characters. If you look, you will see that there are 10 generations in total. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. 10 generations in total. But I want you to notice one generation in particular. I want you to notice the 7th from Adam, to whom we are introduced in verse 21, the man who had the shortest lifespan on earth of them all, Enoch, who lived here for 365 years. I want you to notice, please, 3 things about Enoch. It is recorded firstly here that Enoch walked with God. We read that in verse 22 and in verse 24. A most remarkable fact. Enoch walked with God. In other words, he gave God time. In other words, he gave attention to the things of God. In other words, he was prepared to spend time with God. In the Bible, we read of those who walked before God. And that expression indicates that they were God-fearing men and women. But when we read of Enoch walking with God, we are thinking of intimacy, of fellowship. So, Enoch walked with God. We will see when we come to chapter 6 that it also says of Noah, in verse 9 of that chapter, that Noah walked with God. So, here we have a man who gave God his time and enjoyed intimacy and fellowship with his God. He walked with God. When you turn to the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, we read that Enoch pleased God. In the Thessalonian Epistle, the first Epistle to the Thessalonians, in chapter 4, Paul speaks about his desire for the Thessalonians that they would please God. What a delight that in this sad, sinful, corrupt world, it is possible for a man to live who gives God pleasure. This is what Enoch did. He, in a sin-stricken, corrupted world, with increasing darkness around him, gave God pleasure. He pleased God. When you turn to the Epistle of Jude, we learn that Enoch spoke about God. The Lord cometh, he says. And in that epistle, we learn, after thousands of years, words that were spoken by Enoch that were not recorded in the book of Genesis. Proof of the divine inspiration of the word is the fact that this conversation was written of by a man who lived thousands of years after the life of Enoch. And Enoch, of course, was looking forward to the coming Lord. He said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." This is the first prophecy spoken by a man, recorded in Scripture. So, this man who walked with God was looking for coming glory. He looked around with a sad heart and saw the sin and the degradation which surrounded him. And Enoch looked forward to a day when the Lord would come. The prophetic timetable as we know it now was not known to him, but he knew that the Lord would come, and he was thinking of that day when sin would be banished, looking to the coming. I want you to observe, please. He walked with God. He pleased God. He spoke with God. That is what he did. Now let us think of the significance of his life. The significance of his life is seen in a threefold way. Firstly, it is proof that the fall did not end the possibility of walking with God. Remember, the Lord God came into the garden, walking in the cool of the day, but Adam was not able to walk with him because of sin. But here now, we have a man walking again with God. Why was that possible? In the Epistle to the Hebrews, we learn that all we know of Enoch and his godliness was because of his faith. By faith, Enoch, is how the Hebrew writer puts it. So this man walked with God, and that was on the basis of his faith. It is proof that the fall did not end the possibility of walking with God. It is secondly proof that there is life after death. Why else would God take him at 365 years of age? If there was no life after death, it would have been better if this man had been left to live a longer life and for God to have pleasure from him. So we learn that there is life after death, and that after death God's pleasure in us can continue. God would not cut this man off early and destroy the pleasure which he gave to him. I want you to notice, please, that it is proof that walking with God gives us an appetite for the coming of the Lord. If we walk with God, our hearts are grieved by a sinful world. And being grieved by that sinful world, we desire the coming of the Lord. We are waiting for his Son from heaven. We have turned to God from idols. And if we walk with God, we long for his coming. Interesting to note that the epistle to the Thessalonians, which deals with the coming of the Lord, is the epistle that speaks of walking with God. And here we have the same pattern in Genesis chapter 5. I want you to notice, please, that this is proof, this life is proof that how we live is noted in heaven. You have not to think that the Seth line contained only 10 men, because it is recorded of every man who lived in these days that he begat sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. So, the names we have are the names of the firstborn son, but other sons and daughters were born. So, the earth, as we said earlier, was being populated at a fast rate. Now, please observe that out of all of these lives, Enoch's is noted in heaven. There would be others, but Enoch's was noted particularly. He was translated. That is, he did not die. I want you to know, please, the dispensational significance of his life. He is a picture of those who will be taken to heaven before the wrath of God descends in tribulation days on this world. That wrath is pictured in the flood. This man is taken to heaven before that day, a picture of those who will be raptured to glory before this world experiences the wrath to come. Now, what conclusions can we draw from this age? I want you to see, firstly, the godly have to live in a godless age. No special place, no special treatment for the line of Seth. They have to live to testify in an age that is godless. I want you to observe, secondly, please, that the godly can please God in a godless age. We have spoken already of Enoch walking with God and the pleasure that was to God. Today we can please God. Paul speaks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 of pleasing God more and more. In other words, our life ought to be more pleasing to God today than it was yesterday. There ought to be an increasing pleasure in the heart of God over the kind of life that we live. I want you to see thirdly, please, that the godly look forward to the coming of the Lord. You may say we have dealt with that already, but so important is it that in closing we emphasize it again. Enoch speaks of and looks for coming glory. If he did that so many thousands of years ago, how should we be thinking today? The coming of the Lord is drawing near, and as we look round a sad, sorry, sinful, violent world, we sigh and we look forward to the day when we will be delivered out of it, and when the Lord will come. Thus we have considered the history of this chapter, and particularly of the remarkable man called Enoch, the only man in the chapter who did not die. The Hebrew writer clearly tells us that he was translated that he would not see death. So we are confident in making that statement. He did not die. In contrast to the short life of Enoch, comparatively speaking, Methuselah, his son, lived the longest. He lived 969 years. He almost made the 1,000, but not quite, because that will be left until the Lord is on the throne in the millennium. But whether our lives are short or whether they are long, let us determine in all that we do to please God more and more, to give him pleasure, so that, as he looks on us from heaven with each passing day, it will be able to be said of us that we please God.